This is the Sporting Citadel Podcast. With your host, Warren Lent. All right, hold the applause, everyone. We have another podcast coming your way, the Sporting Citadel Podcast. I'm your host, Warren Lent. We have a special surprise for you today to preview the divisional playoff games in the NFL. Ricky Keeler. Ricky, how's it going?
I'm good, Warren. How are you?
Doing all right. Just pumped for this weekend so we can get this show on the road, headed towards the Super Bowl. But Ricky, first of all, where can everyone find you on the internet, and just talk to everyone for a second about your podcast?
Well, first off, I'll give everybody my Twitter. It's at arth65456. That's at arth65456. For my website articles, you can go to foxboroughblog.com. We'll get to the Patriots Jets in a little while, but we'll have tons of Patriots-Jets coverage for you this week, and as long as England's in the playoffs, we'll keep you informed. And we've just started a new show, me and my partner Quentin Haynes, on Blog Talk Radio called The Sports Marauders. So if you want to hear more divisional playoff preview coverage than what you get today, you can go on our show, and we'll also be doing a college basketball show tomorrow afternoon if you want to listen to that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Great podcast from two good people, Quentin Haynes and Ricky Keeler, both very good in what they do. And I listened to your first podcast, as I told you, Ricky, and I was very impressed. Loved it. Had to have you on this show to go over some of the NFL games that we see this week. First of all, let's start off in the NFC. Save the best for last when it comes to the Patriots and Jets. Let's go over Seattle and the Chicago Bears. Obviously, we have the Seahawks, who are still less than 500. They're headed into Chicago to face off a decent, consistent Bears team since week 10, I'd say. Besides that Patriots debacle, but really, Jay Cutler's come on pretty strong. The offensive line has been playing much better than it had the first few games of the season, and Jay Cutler's really reacted to that in a positive way. Ricky, in your opinion, is the Seahawk legacy and legend going to keep going, or does the buck stop here when it comes to the Chicago Bears?
Well, I think when we look at this game for this weekend, you have to look back to Week 6 when Seattle beat Chicago in Soldier Field 23-20, and they got the run game going in that game, similar to what they did against New Orleans. But you can argue with this Bears team that loss seemed to turn the corner for them, because they stopped with this whole throw it like 50 times a game with Mike Martz and Jay Cutler, and they went back to the balance of running and passing. Because remember, in that game, Matt Forte only had 8 carries for 11 yards, and they ran the ball just 14 times. You can't do that in the NFL playoffs to win football games.
Yeah,
now, Seattle is going to have their success, but I lean more toward Chicago, even if Cutler has a turnover or two, because the Bears are going to be more balanced offensively.
I completely agree. And, I mean, when you think about it, of course that was a great win by Seattle. You can't take anything away from them. But then you look at the score. It was 41-36 by the end. 36 points were put up on the board by New Orleans, I believe. And, I mean, if Seattle gives up 36 points or 30-plus points, they're going to lose this game by far. And, I mean, when you look at the Bears, as you said, Matt Forte, the running game needs to get going. But, I mean, what types of keys do you see for the Seahawks to win this game if they want to keep this magical run going?
Well, if Seattle wants to win this game, it's going to be always to force turnovers. And with Chicago, it's almost easy to force turnovers because Jay Cutler is Brett Favre Jr. He tends to throw balls into places that aren't even there. But then when you go back to Week 6, you see that Chicago went 0-12 on third down. That's not going to happen most likely in this game, but Chris Clemens and Raheem Brock on the defensive ends, because Seattle had 6 sacks in that game. So if they can do anything similar to what they did against the Bears in terms of their pass rush, because they have Marcus Trufant in the secondary, who's a really good corner, loves to two-foot linebacker. There are some pieces there. So they can get pressure on Jay Cutler. They have a decent chance in this game.
Yeah, and also another factor is that that Matt Hasselbeck played out of his mind against the New Orleans Saints. We saw him throw, I think, four touchdowns, one interception, but that was a really bad play that got the entire Seahawk fan base very nervous at the beginning of the game. But he came back and he played inspired. I think when you look back to Marshawn Lynch's run, the thing that impressed me the most, believe it or not, was not Marshawn Lynch's run. Actually, it was the fact that there were at least two offensive linemen still down there and still blocking for him, as well as Matt Hasselbeck. All those guys were running down the field as fast as they could. They played inspired. And if they keep playing inspired like that, I mean, I'm always going to give them a chance.
Oh, I agree, because when you look at Matt Hasselbeck, people, I think, underestimate his playoff experience. I mean, the guy came out, basically people said he had to compete this week because if they lost, he might be out of the starting job, and that is ludicrous. I mean, I know he's had injuries throughout his career, had the bad back against Tampa a couple weeks ago, but this guy got Seattle to a Super Bowl. Nobody gets Seattle to a Super Bowl, and I had people tell me during the week that Charlie Whitehurst would be better fit to start than Matt Hasselbeck. That's crazy. In order to beat New Orleans, Matt Hasselbeck had to be the quarterback, and he had to play. I didn't think he needed to throw four touchdowns. I think he just had to limit his interceptions. And I was very impressed with his resiliency after throwing that pick to Jabari Greer, because when they got down 10-0, the game looked over to most people. So if Hasselbeck, I think you could trust Hasselbeck over Jay Cutler. There's a real good chance you can do that in this game.
Yeah, I definitely see the same thing. And Matt Hasselbeck, of course, he had that wrist problem. Wrist injury where Mike Mayock was talking about it. When you have a wrist injury, you can't use that to break your fall. So he had to fall without his wrist, which hurt his hip. Now his hip and his wrist are injured. Both of them have serious problems. You could see he was grimacing a little bit at the time, but I think it was more sweet than bitter during the game, because when you saw him and he was just jubilant the whole entire game. So, I mean, just some great stuff from Seattle. And, I mean, the whole fan base is going crazy now because, I mean, you have the 12th man up there winning that game, basically. I think without the 12th man, I don't think they would have won that game. It would have been, I think, close. But without that the prowess of the Seattle fan base, I don't think they would have won that game. But really, if we just went into picks here, who would you pick for this game if you had to make the tough choice between the Bears and the Seahawks?
I think Seattle's going to hang around. I don't see a lot of points being scored in this game just because it's Soldier Field. You got to account for possible weather conditions in January. So I'm going to go with the Bears just because I think that they're going to have more balance on offense. I think that Matt Forte is going to have a breakout game unlike the last time. I'll take Chicago 24-10.
All right, I'm taking Chicago as well. I agree, it's going to be a rough and tumble game, especially in the Windy City. It's going to be really tough to get points. They're going to be at a premium. But I think Jay Cutler does well with this game. He passes when they need him to pass. And Matt Forte, as you said, I think he'll be a pretty good factor as well. Look for Matt Hasselbeck to play inspired once again. Look for Marshawn Lynch to get that second wind and possibly lead this team to yet another win. That running game needs to be there. And if it's not against that tough Chicago defense, they have no chance in this game. Because, I mean, the passing game is good for Seattle, but it's not that good. It's not good enough to rule the day. So I'm going to go with 27-17, same 10-point differential, just a little bit more points than you, Ricky, But so it looks to be a great game, though, as always, in the NFC and in just the playoffs in general. But let's see here. Let's move on to the next game in the NFC. We have Atlanta facing Green Bay. Green Bay has to go into this Georgia Dome where they lost earlier on this season 20-17 on a last-minute field goal. That was a great game where Matt Ryan really, really proved himself to be the game manager and the playmaker at times that he is. But Wes, what do you see happening in this game, and how big of a role will that great Green Bay defense play?
When you look at this Packers-Falcons matchup, a lot happened in that game to break Atlanta's way. You mentioned the drive at the end of the game to kick the field goal, but it wasn't for a 15-yard face mask penalty on the kickoff return. Atlanta got the ball at midfield and had definitely a great chance to win with Ryan's short game passing. But I sort of lean toward the Green Bay Packers in this game because I've been very up and down in Atlanta. I bought them 1 week, and then really the game against New Orleans hurt my perception of them because we pictured Matty Ice as this big clutch quarterback, and the defense let them down in the fourth quarter. They didn't blitz enough, and Drew Brees dinked and dunked his way to a victory in that final drive. Now, in that game against the Packers earlier this year, Rodgers against Atlanta threw for over 300 yards in that game and had no running game. Well, the Packers found a running back. This rookie sixth-round pick, James Starks, out of Buffalo, comes out of nowhere against Philly and runs for 123 yards. Now, Matt Ryan, the game manager, he isn't going to throw a lot. He isn't going to make a lot of mistakes. But the Packers have a balanced offense. I don't see how you're going to stop them.
Yeah, and I mean, you know for a fact, they'll deny it all they want, but Atlanta was praying for Philly to win that game because they wanted Seattle to come all the way across the country and play them in the Georgia Dome. I know what you're saying, Ricky. That it's going to be an amazing game. The Green Bay Packers defense, I don't know if there's a defense that's played better than they have in the past few games now, holding Chicago, an uninspired Chicago, but still a good Chicago offense to only 3 points. And just doing great things. I mean, when you have to take that into account. But I mean, I really do like Atlanta. I still think that even after that New Orleans game, they still have a very good chance at making the Super Bowl, making it past the Green Bay Packers. But I mean, they have to play better than they did against Green Bay earlier on in the season, because you're right, it came down to a lot of plays that went Atlanta's way. Matt Ryan has to play extremely well. Roddy White has to be dominant in the back, in the flats and on the outside for Matt Ryan to get to him. But I mean, that Green Bay secondary is absolutely amazing. So I mean, I really think it's a stalemate throughout the entire game. I really don't see at any point where the Falcons are better than Green Bay, except for the fact that the Falcons are one of the best special teams groups in the country, and Green Bay is one of the worst. So that might play a serious role. The way I always think of it is that special teams might not always win games, but they can sure as hell lose games. So for me, I think I'm going to go with the Falcons in this one. I think Matt Ryan will increase his legend of Matty Ice, even though he's taken a bit of a break the past few games. But really, I think that they have a chance at getting to this game. My score prediction would be around a 21-17 finishing battle. How about you, Ricky?
I mean, you're right. This is basically two teams that you could consider even. I mean, the Packers and Falcons are both top five in interceptions. They're top two in the conference in terms of point differential. But I think this is Aaron Rodgers' year. I mean, he played a great game against Philly, 3 touchdown passes. And a lot of people are wondering if he can do it in the playoffs. And Matty Ice, in his only playoff game against Arizona, wasn't very effective. I know that was 2 years ago, but you have to wonder if he's going to get it done. I think you're going to see a close game. I think Atlanta special teams, as you said, will play a huge factor. But I'm going to lean toward the upset. I'm going to take the Green Bay Packers 24-20.
All right. And I mean, when you think about it, the spread right now, or the spread on Monday, I believe, was -2 Green Bay, which is very weird for a home team, especially with the prowess of the Atlanta Falcons to only get a 2-point favorite at home. So that's basically saying that a lot of people are going with Green Bay right now. Right now, the spread is still 2. Yeah, it's still -2. So there's some disrespect there. Right now, it looks like the upset may just be Atlanta beating Green Bay. Because, I mean, Ricky, you know it as well as I do. Green Bay's fan support has increased greatly in the amount of bandwagon fans. And a lot of analysts are up on them. A lot of people think that they can make it all the way to the Super Bowl. I'm sure they can. But you just have to question where all this support is coming from. But yeah, definitely should be a great game. But as we move to the AFC, we have one of the best rivalries in the NFL, and I was so happy to see this play out this way. I don't know about you, Ricky, but the Steelers and the Ravens. The Ravens will be heading to Heinz Field to face the terrible Towels and Ben Roethlisberger. This is going to be yet another great game. It's going to come within 3 points. It depends on which team, but I mean, I think this is really a field goal game once again.
I mean, for me, this has the makings of a 9-6 kind of a game. I mean, you watch this game on TV, you feel like you're getting hurt because of all the physicality. And yeah. This game's going to be a war because you have two teams that points are at a premium. I mean, that touchdowns can win this game, because if you look at the two matchups earlier this year, week four in Heinz Field, the Ravens, Joe Flacco, one of his best fourth quarter drives of his career, even though Charlie Batch played for the Steelers. And then later in the year, in December, when they were in Baltimore, the Ravens had a great chance to win, and John Harbaugh made a huge mistake, tried to pass, Flacco got the ball stripped, Pittsburgh wins the game. It's that one play that changes this football game. Now, at the Ravens, I like Joe Flacco. I think he's one of the most underrated QBs in the league. And what they did against Kansas City surprised me, because with Baltimore, they are a little bit disconcerting with their identity. Some weeks they pass 40 times, other weeks they run 40 times. You don't know what they're going to do each week. But Flacco, I think, played well against Kansas City. He got in the groove. He found Todd Heap for 10 catches for 108 yards. And that's his stable receiver, is Heap, because Bolden doesn't appear much. Houshmandzadeh or Mason don't make a big impact. And Heap was injured for like 3 weeks in the season, and Flacco took a hit in terms of his production. For Pittsburgh, I think this is the perfect matchup for them, because if they got Indy, that would have been a terrible matchup, because Baltimore and Pittsburgh are power teams, and Pittsburgh can't handle teams that spread them out with their weak corners. They do have Palmeiro in the secondary with Ryan Clark at the safeties, but if you can spread out their corners, you have a great chance to beat them. And I think Pittsburgh has a better chance just running the ball, playing smash-mouth football, and letting Big Ben do his best improvisation skills.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be such a brutal game. There will be so many injuries that you probably won't hear about, because the guys will still be playing. They'll still be trying to fight through it, because number one is the playoffs. All right, they'd do this either way in this rivalry game. They'd play through the injuries. But then add the playoffs. I mean, I it's going to be such an awesome game. I was listening to Michael Lombardi talk earlier on this week on the NFL Network, and he was saying how slow the Ravens offense is besides Ray Rice. I mean, we saw Ray Rice go off against a young but still very good Kansas City Chiefs defense. Ray Rice is going to be the determining factor. I really hope that the Ravens will just keep going to him and keep trying to find ways to give him the ball. Because I'll tell you, Willis McGahee is not the way to go. As you said before, Anquan Boldin and that wide receiving core is either old or just cannot do anything right now besides maybe keep the possession. You know, so, I mean, this is going to be absolutely amazing. And I'm leaning towards the Steelers right now, just because it's at home and Ben Roethlisberger will find ways to win. But then again, if the Ravens can kind of duplicate what the Jets did against the Steelers at home, I really think they can keep that going, and win this game. But right now, it's early in the week, but I'm leaning towards, the Steelers.
I think I'd have to agree with you on that, because I have mutual respect for both these teams. I think John Harbaugh and Mike Tomlin are two of the most underrated coaches in the game. They don't get a lot of respect for what they do. Harbaugh, great road coach. Tomlin, tough-nosed coach. He always has his guys ready to play. But I think Troy Palmeiro being back and being healthy plays a big role in this game. I think they're going to make Baltimore make that one mistake. And with the conservative play calling of offense coordinator Cam Cameron for the Ravens, Palmeiro makes a huge difference. James Harrison makes a huge difference. I think Mendenhall has a good game to control the clock, getting a little bounce to Pittsburgh. I think it is a field goal game. I'm going to go 16-13 in favor of the terrible Towel.
All right. I'm going with 17-14. And we'll see what happens here. But, I mean, as you said, Cam Cameron is facing his critics in some ways. But then again, he's still a very strong coach. he needs to find a way to implement Ray Rice in both the passing game and the rushing game. Because, I mean, I think he's the only salvation the Ravens have for scoring any points offensively. I didn't say anything about defensively because, I mean, Ray Lewis is still there. Ed Reed will be playing with a heavy heart once again this week unless breaking news comes out about his brother, that his brother is fine or whatever. But, I mean, it's going to be very tough. Ray Lewis looks kind of old lately, I have to say it. But he's still looking very good. And that whole defense is looking good. Aloney Nada is obviously there and ready to pounce on whatever comes his way. So another great game. Be ready for it, guys, because it's going to be another beauty of an NFL combat. Now we move on to the game that has had so much publicity, too much publicity. And, I mean, Rex Ryan versus Bill Belichick is the way that Rex Ryan wants to see it, Ricky. But, I mean, this is not how it's going to happen, I don't think. It's going to come down to how the players play. And I have to go with the Patriots right now. The Patriots are just too good.
I think I have to agree. New England is a big machine on offense. I mean, ever since that Cleveland game, it seems as if Tom Brady has said, we're sick and tired of these young players not producing. And he's stepped up his game, and the rookies have stepped up their games, especially on the defensive side of the ball. A lot of people, when I get a lot of bloggers when I interview other people's teams during the week, ask me about can this defense win a championship. And I think this defense can definitely win a championship. I mean, in December, they were holding teams to single-digit points. Last time I checked, that produces a championship-winning defense. When you go plus 36 in turnover differential, which is by far the best in the NFL, you take away the ball more than they play in the NFL, that's a Super Bowl-winning defense. And when I look at the Jets, everyone goes, well, you beat them the first. They beat them the first time. What I noticed in week two was Tom Brady forced the ball to Randy Moss in the second half so many times. It was a joke. Because in the first half, they dominated as well with Wes Welker and Aaron Hernandez. And I'm a New Yorker personally, so I listen to Rex Ryan and these Jet players repeatedly talk all day. I listen to New York shows. I literally have to laugh at this stuff. I mean, making excuses of Tom Brady pointing on the sideline or going to see a Broadway play, Lombardi, which is a good play. I haven't seen it, but I'd want to go see it. And Antonio Cromartie saying stuff about Tom Brady when he couldn't even cover Pierre Garçon last week. He's one of the worst cover corners in the league. I know it's like, oh, you got to take the pressure off Mark Sanchez. Well, Mark Sanchez is a big guy. He can kind of he needs to handle the pressure. He needs to show he's a playoff caliber quarterback.
Yeah, and I mean, when you look at this, yes, he's 3-1 in the playoffs. All right, I understand that, but Mark Sanchez threw over the heads of his wide receivers so many times against the Indianapolis Colts, it wasn't even funny. I mean, Mark Sanchez is limping through, not physically, but in terms of the team, he's becoming more of a hindrance than I think an asset on this team. I think they would be much better without him. But that being said, he's still a very good developmental quarterback. I still think he has a lot of things ahead of him that he can do very well, all right? But when you look at it, Tom Brady versus Mark Sanchez, it's Tom Brady all day, all right? And another key thing, Brandon Spikes is back this week, and that's going to be huge for the Patriots defense that we talked about before. Devin McCourty is 100 times better than Antonio Cromartie. Cromartie couldn't even remember his children's names in the preseason. Now he can't even remember who he's supposed to cover and what he's supposed to do when he's covering them. Because as you said, he was deplorable against the Indianapolis Colts. He's big, yes, but he's still just not a good cornerback. Darrell Revis is still a great cornerback. I think right now it's a little bit more of an intimidation factor than it is his actual ability, because now just no one's going to him. We saw Reggie Wayne being faced up against Revis, and Peyton Manning wouldn't even look Reggie Wayne's way during the whole game. So, I mean, this is setting up to be a good game. It won't be a blowout, I don't think, but I have to go with at least like maybe a 17-point Patriots win. And I know that when I say that, I'm going to be nervous that it won't happen. But what I've noticed time and time again is when I think that I'm giving too much praise to the Patriots, I'm actually not giving enough.
Well, I would be surprised if this score was above two touchdowns. And well, let me just give a little reference. I myself, the Semba meeting said the Jets would make it a close game, and I was obviously dead wrong. But with the Jets, they're not going to lose 45-3 again. I don't think that'll happen. I think the difference with New York is they have to not get down early. If the Jets can establish a running game, now they won't run all over New England because the Patriots are 8th in points allowed and 10th in rushing defense. But they can milk some clock. Sean Green is the big factor in this game for me because Sean Green is the much better outdoor running back than LaDainian Tomlinson. We've seen games where outdoors in January, Tomlinson can't even get out of his way running the ball. He's sitting on the sideline. So, and then the Jets also, on defense, they have to get after Tom Brady. They're one of the worst teams this year in getting after the quarterback and one of the worst in interceptions. So if they can't force turnovers, they're going to have a hard time winning. But I think Mark Sanchez plays decent. But in order to beat New England, you have to outplay Tom Brady. And the cold in January in Foxborough, I don't think he can. But I think the Jets will hang around in this game. I'm actually going to say maybe it's my New York nerves, but I'm going to go 31-24 New England.
All right. I like that pick more because I think that's more conservative. I'll be honest. I am still a little bit scared. All right, Jets fans, I'll admit that. But then again, you just have to keep wondering that and seeing the Patriots, you can't deny the fact that they are the best team in the NFL right now, and they have been since that Browns game, the Browns debacle. Because, I mean, look at the schedule they played since then. They faced off against the Packers, the Bears, the Steelers, the Colts. They faced off against so many playoff teams and beat all of them pretty handily. Besides the Colts, who come back every single time for some reason in the fourth quarter against the Patriots. But besides that, I mean, it's just been a great year for the Patriots. And I really don't think it's going to end this week, even though Rex Ryan might want it to, you know. So, I mean, that I'm going with the Patriots here, as I said before. So is Ricky. But Ricky, it's going to be another great weekend of the NFL, and definitely enjoy it, man. Because hopefully we'll be back here talking some AFC Championship matchups.
I hope so too. You guys better enjoy these football games. Got two divisional wars. And a couple in the NFC, you got close games that were played during the season. So these definitely should entertain you, even if your team is out of the playoffs this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. And guys, be sure to follow Ricky on Twitter at @arth65456. That's at @arth65456. Ricky, thanks again for coming on. And guys, be sure to check out his blog. His podcast on Blog Talk Radio, The Sports Marauders. Ricky, thanks again, man.
Anytime.
All right.